In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this day of retreat, I have added to the Mass today the prayer for the gift of tears, one of the most beautiful prayers that we find in the Roman Missal. I added after the prayer for the Pope and the prayer for the day. It is particularly fitting at this time of year, of course, because this is a great gift we implore it during this time of penance, the gift of tears. It also ties in very well liturgically, because this is the time of year, starting with Septuagesima, as I've told you already from the pulpit, when we hear of the mystery of the Israelites in the desert and of water coming forth from the rock. We will hear of this again soon, continue on our Lenten pilgrimage. But the prayers for the gift of tears, which we add to the Mass, reveal to us the moral dimension of this passage in the Old Testament. For that is what is invoked when we ask for this gift of tears. We ask Almighty God that as He drew forth water from the rock to give drink to his people, so now draw forth tears from the hardness of our hearts and grant us true compunction for our sins. The two passages which we have just read for Mass lead us to, if I may borrow a phrase from our very impoverished contemporary English, a wow moment. We all know more or less, I hope, the story of Jacob and Esau, and how Jacob took from Esau his rights of firstborn. And all of us, I think, know even better the parable of the prodigal son, which we hear today on this famous Saturday in Lent. But I'll lay my cards on the table and tell you that certainly it never occurred to me, by myself, to place these two passages together. For that, we had to rely on the timeless wisdom of Holy Mother Church, who has placed these two passages together for countless centuries. It is one of those moments when, in reading the scriptures, you think, we might almost conclude that all these books were written by the same author. Indeed, we are invited to make such a juxtaposition as is done today, for even next Sunday, on Laetare Sunday, we will hear St. Paul do the same thing. He will speak of the two sons of Abraham and make this amazing switch of roles. We will say that, yes, the rights of firstborn went to Isaac and not to Ishmael. But now we find the roles reversed. We find that that was a prefiguration of what was to come, and that in fact Ishmael, the one who is not the ancestor of the chosen people, prefigures that same chosen people later on. And Isaac, the latecomer, prefigures all the Gentile nations who will come into the inheritance of the New Testament. The Church, in placing today's two passages together, invites us to make the same comparison. Of course, what is most on our minds at this time in the story of the prodigal son is the moral element. I will speak about this at length in the conference today for the women's retreat. Of course, we know the men have no need of hearing that moral aspect, so they are not invited. However, today, during the Mass, we are invited to reflect for a moment on the allegorical element present, something that would not have occurred to us if the Church had not invited us to think of it in this way. That is, with the story of the prodigal son, the Church asks us to consider very much, a part which we often forget. Some of us, in thinking of the story of the prodigal son, almost forget that there are two sons involved. After all, we almost could tell the entire story without making reference to that older son. He only really comes in at the end. But his role is of supreme importance, especially for the lesson the church teaches us today. The church today, since the earliest times, is speaking to her catechumens, to those who are preparing to enter the church. And so, in comparing the story of the prodigal son with that of Jacob and Esau, which is to make clear that the older son is in fact the Hebrew nation. The older son here, the resentful one, is the one who cannot comprehend how the Gentiles, after spending so many ages in riotous living, disobeying all the laws of God, have now finally come to their senses and decided to come to the truth. And on this occasion, God seems to want to throw the greatest feast of all, greater than any feast ever celebrated for that Hebrew nation, which was always faithful to his law, although we know, of course, that is not the case. Once again, however, the church cannot be telling us this simply so that we may pat ourselves on the back. It is not so that we can glory in the fact that as the chosen people, in the end, denied the law of God and rejected the New Testament, we are, through some merits of our own, now allowed to participate in it. No, if the church repeats this to us again and again, it is to remind us, as St. Paul tells us, that although this new branch of the Gentile nation has been grafted onto the tree, he could just as easily wither and fall off if we do not remain true to God's law. And there is finally one other moral dimension which we can draw even from this interpretation. If we consider the prodigal son as representing all the nations who came into the New Testament, nevertheless, from a personal point of view, we can look at this passage and be reminded that it is a warning against spiritual jealousy. Reminds one, I think, of that last invocation of the Litany of Humility, when we implore Almighty God, grant that others may become holier than I, provided that I may be as holy as I should. We should then not long for the spiritual favors that may be granted to others. If we are in our Father's house, if truly we have never left it, then we may thank God for this great grace. Nevertheless, we should not hesitate to rejoice that others may be coming into the fold, and that others may seemingly be receiving spiritual favors which we have never received. Enough for us that our glass should be full, whatever size it may be, provided that we, small vessels that we are full of the grace of God. This is enough cause to rejoice. And of course, who among us can truly say that at all times we have truly remained in our Father's house and never once strayed? It is in judging others that we realize that we are very forgetful of all the times we have been forgiven our trespasses. And that is why, above all, on this day in Lent, we should implore from Almighty God that the hardness of our hearts may be broken, and that we may pour forth, like that prodigal son, true tears of compunction welling up into eternal life. Amen.